The Sandman, Volume 4, Season of Mists, begins with a family reunion of the endless seven siblings, embodying fundamental aspects of existence. Death arrives as a perky young woman dressed in black, followed by androgynous Desire with golden eyes, gray-skinned Despair with flesh-tearing rings, and Delirium with mismatched eyes and constantly changing hair. When Morpheus, Dream, finally arrives, tension fills the air. During this gathering, Desire provokes Dream by mentioning Nada, a former lover whom Dream condemned to hell 10,000 years ago for rejecting him. Death confronts her brother about this cruelty with devastating simplicity. You condemned her to hell for 10,000 years because she refused you? This question pierces Dream's pride, forcing him to acknowledge his past mistake. Though these beings shape reality, they remain trapped in patterns as ancient as existence itself. Dream's realization sets the stage for everything that follows, a journey to hell to right an ancient wrong, regardless of the dangers awaiting him there. When Dream arrives at Hell's Gates, prepared for confrontation with Lucifer Morningstar, he finds the infernal realm seemingly abandoned. When he finally encounters the fallen angel, Lucifer delivers a stunning announcement: I've quit. He's closing hell, releasing all denizens, and abdicating his throne. What follows is a masterful scene where Lucifer systematically locks every gate of hell with Dream as witness. With each gate sealed, Lucifer visibly weakens, relinquishing the power that has defined him since his fall. In a moment of startling vulnerability, he asks Dream to cut off his wings, the last symbol of his angelic past. You think I blame you, don't you? Lucifer says. I've had longer than you could imagine to plot revenge, but vengeance is hollow. All I ever wanted was freedom. In the final stunning twist, Lucifer hands Dream the key to hell, a massive, ornate key representing ownership of the infernal realm. It's yours now. Perhaps it will destroy you, perhaps it won't, but it's no longer my concern. Word spreads across the cosmos that hell is vacant, with Dream holding its key. A procession of deities and supernatural beings arrives at the Dreaming to stake their claims. The delegations include Norse gods, Odin, Thor, Loki, Egyptian deities, Bast, Anubis, demons led by Azazel, fairy representatives, Cluricane and Nuala, and emissaries from Order and Chaos. Heaven's angels, Duma and Remiel, attend as observers only. Each party presents their case in this supernatural lobbying session. Odin emphasizes strategic value, while Azazel resorts to hostage threats, including Dream's former lovers. The Japanese storm god offers treasures, and Chaos seeks hell as a playground. Ancient rivalries emerge during negotiations. When Thor brags about his worship, Bast retorts that her followers numbered millions before his ancestors existed. Azazel threatens eternal torment for his hostages, including Nada, while the fairy delegation offers Nuala as a seemingly generous gift, though possibly a spy. Meanwhile, Dream's servants, Lucian the librarian, Matthew the raven, and Mervin Pumpkinhead the janitor, struggle to maintain order amid the divine visitors. In his gallery of sibling symbols, Dream contemplates the impossible choice regarding Hell's fate. To award it to any faction would create enemies. Keeping it himself would compromise his nature, and destroying it would upset cosmic balance. The solution arrives through divine decree. Heaven will take control of Hell, transforming it from a place of punishment to redemption. While Remio protests this assignment, Duma accepts it silently. Dream embraces this intervention, knowing no faction can reasonably object to Heaven's authority. This resolution showcases Dream's wisdom in recognizing when to step aside and let higher powers intervene, though he remains blind to the enemies he's making despite his careful handling. The episode concludes with Nada's fate. Dream apologizes for his past cruelty and offers her three choices: return to life, live in the Dreaming, or be reborn without memories. She chooses rebirth, ending their millennia-old tragic story. Under new custodians, Remiel and Duma, Hell undergoes a fundamental shift. Remiel redefines Hell's purpose from punishment to purification, declaring that souls are tormented to prepare them for heaven's return. "We are here to save you all," he proclaims. "The pain you feel is not meaningless torture, but the clean fire of purification." This reframing creates a more sinister torment, as many damned souls find this sanctimonious approach more unbearable than Lucifer's honest cruelty. "At least Lord Lucifer was honest about his intentions," one soul laments. Meanwhile, Lucifer reaches Earth, where we find him watching a Pacific sunset. "I've never seen the Pacific," he tells an old man. "It's really quite extraordinary, isn't it?" When asked about his future plans, his response reveals his true desire for freedom. "I don't know. Isn't that wonderful?" For an eternal being, this uncertainty represents not fear, but liberation from ancient expectations. The resolution's effects ripple outward. In Faerie, Queen Titania successfully plants Nula as a servant in Dream's realm. Loki, punished for his mischief during negotiations, lies bound with venom dripping on his face, yet smiles knowingly. In Hell, now ruled by angels, the demons plot revenge, with Azazel particularly vowing to strike when Dream least expects it. Dream emerges having prevented disaster, but at a cost. He's acquired subtle enemies and new obligations, including a permanent connection to Faerie through Nula. His role in the crisis has inadvertently positioned him as a cosmic power broker. When Matthew questions these complications, Dream simply states, "I did what was necessary, nothing more." But as his raven notes, doing what's necessary always leaves loose ends. As the story concludes, Dream contemplates the cost of his actions. While he succeeded diplomatically, the experience has transformed him, leading him to confront past mistakes, make amends, and shape cosmic futures. "I cannot escape the feeling that I have been manipulated," he tells Lucian, who suggests that Dream's choices can be both autonomous and part of larger designs. "Is that not the nature of existence? We are all part of greater stories, yet we make our own tales within them." This captures a central theme, the balance between destiny and free will. Dream displays newfound compassion, as shown in his apology to Nada and respect for her choices. Yet his core nature persists, bound by his realm's responsibilities. In the final scenes, Dream gazes over his realm. Asked about his thoughts by Matthew, he responds, "I was thinking about how even immortals can change, and whether that is a blessing or a curse." This reflection crystallizes the volume's exploration of identity and transformation. For the Endless, whose existence is tied to cosmic functions, change carries unique risks, threatening not just who they are, but what they are.